if we just stick to this idea that we're living in an Isaac Newtonian world of separation, that makes absolute no sense. But when you're thinking in terms of quantum physics and how we are all part of a non-local field and we're all connected to each other, the emotion and thoughts and our energy that we are cultivating is literally feeding the fields around us. So a local field, so other people around us can feel our hearts, but we're also feeding that information. Our Wi-Fi signal is being sent into a non-local field that connects us all to each other.
By listening to the Conscious Fertility Podcast, you agree to not use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician or healthcare provider for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast. Welcome to Conscious Fertility, the show that listens to all of your fertility questions so that you can move from fear and suffering to peace of mind and joy. My name is Lauren Brown. I'm a doctor of traditional Chinese medicine and a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm on a mission to explore all the paths to peak fertility and joyful living. It's time to learn how to be and receive so that you can create life on purpose. I want to welcome everybody to the Conscious Fertility and Beyond podcast today. And I have the good fortune to be interviewing Dr. Mitch Abrams, who is not only a medical doctor and radiologist, and I'm going to share a little bit of his bio, and doing really cool things in the conscious sphere, but we have a history. We know each other from when we both lived in Fredericton way, way back in the day. And maybe we'll share a few stories from that as well. But it's a real privilege to be introducing you, Mitch, because I'm always looking for interesting people with credibility to bring to the Conscious Fertility Podcast so those skeptics can be open to hear when it's coming from, say, somebody who's a medical doctor and, you know, trained as a radiologist. It's just nice that you're a friend. And so it's great to be having this conversation with you. And it's kind of gone full circle from my childhood to here we are today. I want to introduce everybody to Dr. Mitch Abrams. So he, as you just heard, he's a radiologist at Cambridge Memorial Hospital. He's been a TEDx and keynote speaker. He's a certified educator of applied compassion through the Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education at Stanford University Medical School. He's also a fellow of the Royal College of Physicians and Surgeons of Canada. He's assistant clinical professor at Michael G. DeGroote School of Medical Sciences and founder of NextGen Health Foundation. And their website, by the way, is nextgenhealth.solutions. We'll put that in the show notes, as well as Global HeartSync and the Rad Art Initiative. So, Dr. Mitch, welcome to the Conscious Fertility and Beyond podcast.
Thank you, Lauren. It's such a pleasure to be with you. Been looking forward to it.
Thanks. And as I alluded to it is, you know, today we're going to talk, for everybody that's listening, today we're going to talk about like healing and consciousness. And I don't know where exactly it's going to go, but this is one of those episodes that if you're looking to experience more joy in your life, some form of healing, not just trying to grow your family, this is going to be one of those episodes. It's not a fertility only focus, although it would, I think you'll benefit, but this is one of those I think is going to be for everybody. Mitch, I think your story would be interesting because we were kind of talking at the beginning how, you know, when I went from chartered accountancy to Chinese medicine, you kind of was wondering like, what the hell's going on with Lauren, right? And then here I am seeing some guy talk about art and coherence, and he's a medical doctor and radiologist. And I realized, hey, it's Mitch. So Dr. Mitch. So how does a medical doctor trained in radiology get into this area where some of your colleagues would think it's a little woo-woo out there, right? So do you have a little background that had a shift for you that got you into this type of work?
Yeah, definitely. And so thanks again, Lauren. It's great to be with you and your listeners. You know, I have to say early on in my journey, I was completely not in this world. You know, I mean, I remember the day as a young kid hearing about, you know, your shift. And I was just thinking, what in the world is Lauren doing? And I would say that my story kind of begins at about 2010. This was my first year practicing as an independent radiologist. So I just finished, you know, 20 years of studying. And I remember that, you know, this moment, I thought I was going to just be so happy, filled with, you know, joy. And this was my life. I'm kind of on easy street. But yet I quickly realized, you know, the excitement of finishing exams, eventually just dissipated. And then I was left with a sense of a void. And when I look back now, I think there was also a significant burnout that had, you know, kind of settled in. And, you know, then there was a moment where I found out I had a heart condition where I required open heart surgery. I had this congenital condition called hypertrophic obstructive cardiomyopathy. So very quickly, doctor became patient. And it was at that point where I realized, you know, I was going through this Western model of medicine. I realized, wow, there's something fundamentally missing within our medical model. You know, how we define and study health and well-being was extremely narrow in scope. I couldn't put my finger on the pulse as to what was missing, but yet I realized that there was an emotional toll that took place, not just on the physical body, but emotionally. You know, I just wasn't expecting the shift. And there's, you know, the stories I was telling myself started to change. I started to truly appreciate this sense of void, despite, you know, a good paycheck and, you know, and vacation time. But yet there is an emptiness. And then as I shortly returning to work, I was appointed the chief of our department. And then I got to see the business of medicine. And I realized, wow, like, I mean, our system is totally not sustainable. It's so outdated. And between, you know, with all of these experiences and this new perspective, this really catapulted me in a new direction, a journey of, you know, exploration and research. And I started traveling, and I found myself traveling to India. And I got very interested because quickly I realized that there's an entire discipline of science that we're just not exposed to in the West. You know, however you want to label it, science of spirituality, science of consciousness or interconnectedness, that's okay. But to know that there's a real science of mind and that this ancient wisdom is describing energy, the same energy that constitutes all of us in the world. And for me, as a radiologist, you know, we don't use prescription pads. We don't use scalpel blades. We use our understanding of energy to non-invasively dissect the brain like a loaf of bread using an MRI scan or a CT scanner. And the only reason why that's possible is because we are true beings of light. I mean, we're extracting information from the light of your atoms.
And you're not saying that figuratively. You're saying that literally.
Literal. This is it. This is how this technology works. The mathematics, you know, that helps us achieve this amazing technology is also describing something deep within ourselves. And we have to begin now to understand, like, what are the implications as it pertains to consciousness, as it pertains to our human connection. And so this was my journey to, you know, one, open my eyes, shift not only how I see the world, but how I believe medicine has to be practiced. Like, what is missing? Here's the gap. And that just became my mission. Like, you know, I felt that to bring this message to the world and to help colleagues understand what is missing within our model. And so much of that, you know, trying to, over the years, identify how do I best siphon this down to a level where we can explain it to colleagues and make it practical, make it real, not just for individual self-care, but how can we use it to cultivate healthier communities, a healthier world.
And I like that you shared that there's, when you went to India, there's other sciences, and you called it science of the mind, science of consciousness. In the medicine that you're trained in, Western medicine, it's a very Newtonian physical medicine. So that's another form of science. It sounds like what you're describing is the quantum physics. There's a whole other science called the science of quantum physics, where they see things as more than just the physical. There's the energy. And that's what you're talking about now, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
I'll add this, and you tell me if this resonates with you, but people like to make whatever they're doing dogmatic. Even at me practicing Chinese medicine, you know, it becomes very dogmatic. You know, your colleagues, very dogmatic. Like, you're grateful of the science of Western medicine because you're alive because of it, right? There's a place and time for it. But I think where we get confused is we confuse the map with the terrain. And what I mean by that is we are the terrain, we're a physical being, but you said we're light. And I want to dive into that from your radiology background. And then the map is Chinese medicine has a map of this terrain. Mm-hmm. Western medicine has a map of this terrain. Ayurvedic medicine has a map of this terrain. The map is how we are perceiving and understanding it, but the map is not the terrain. And the map is only a piece of it. I'm going to stay on this tangent for a little bit in that, you know, we can use a map to drive across our country of Canada. and it's flat, the map, and it works. But that map is not accurate. It is not a flat Earth. Well, some people would argue that, but we're going to agree that the Earth is round, right? So certain maps can work and work really well, even though they're not a fully accurate depiction of the terrain. So we're still learning of the terrain. And the more maps you have, the more you can navigate a terrain. So I don't think we're throwing out the baby with the bathwater. It's not like, oh, energetic medicine, good. Physical Western medicine, not good. We're talking about integration. It's just that it's kind of a monopoly, conventional medicine right now. And you're going to share what's missing to add to this map. Am I understanding your approach correctly?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I love the analogy because it really speaks to the truth that, you know, the world that we're experiencing is, you know, one level, let's call it a scale. And yet there's information at a deeper level, at a much smaller level. And that information is the foundation of what we're experiencing on this, you know, scale, this level of awareness. And I'm actually going to pull up an image because I'm, as a radiologist, I'm a visual thinker.
I'm just going to let our listeners know, this is on YouTube as well. So Dr. Mitch is going to describe what you're seeing for those that are listening as a podcast. So you're not going to miss out on anything. But if you actually want to see the visuals, just go to the Conscious Fertility podcast on the YouTube channel and you can see the visuals as well.
This image here is what I call a medicinal mandala. It's a lens to help people appreciate this, what you might expect to be a dichotomy between science and spirituality or this deeper truth. And just for your listeners, this is a diagram that is actually made up of two superimposed images. There's a central image called a vector equilibrium. And this is what Einstein is staring at in this image. And this vector equilibrium is actually related to the 1996 Nobel Prize in Chemistry because it represents a perfectly balanced system of energy. So in this image, it represents our understanding of science and technology from our modern point of view. Now in the background, His Holiness the Dalai Lama is staring at the second image, which is the lotus flower. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware, you know, the lotus flower has been around for thousands of years. It's an ancient sacred symbol that has always represented consciousness, represented the science of connection, science of mind. And in this image, people can see how the vector equilibrium and the lotus flower, they superimpose on each other and they weave into each other. So this is a beautiful way to help people, one, begin to appreciate how modern science is catching up with ancient wisdom, and yet there's a certain frequency, there's a certain mathematic ratio that they both share that allows them to, you know, for people to begin to appreciate that science and spirituality are not necessarily two ends of the spectrum, but yet when you take a step back far enough, you begin to see this is one big circle. And we're, each of us have this capacity to experience this deeper truth. You know, so your analogy really is, you know, a beautiful way to help us appreciate that, yes, there is this non-local perspective in a quantum physics reality that we're living in. And yet there is a physical world to us that we are each navigating. And to your point, we do need to take the best of the West when it comes to medicine, but we need to infuse the ancient wisdom and bring in this understanding of energy, because it's just, that's how we cultivate a strong and robust and whole person, you know, perspective of healing.
And, you know, it's not even Western medicine that lost some of its essence. I will literally say the soul of the medicine. I was trained as a traditional Chinese medicine practitioner, and the training I got was post-cultural revolution. So it stripped out the spirit of the medicine. It was a very physical medicine. And it was only, you know, over the last decade where the classics have made a comeback and they're putting the spirit back into it. You know, we understood that it's not mind and body, it's mind body. It's bidirectional. Your thoughts and your emotions impact the physical, and the physical impact your thoughts and emotions. So in Chinese medicine, we always address both. We knew about it, but I didn't think the way I was trained, I had the tools to do that, which is why I went and trained as a clinical hypnotherapist after, right? Mm. To have that tool. Now, more and more, they brought the soul back into the medicine. And I think that's what you're bringing into conventional medicine. I saw Einstein's photo there in the image you shared, and I don't know if it's him. Is he famous for saying the future of medicine is like vibrational medicine? Is that Einstein or Tesla? Who said that?
Yeah, Einstein said, he said future medicine is the medicine of frequency.
Medicine of frequency. So now I have a question for you. I had another medical doctor, Neil Theus, on our podcast. He's a liver pathologist, and he looks at, you know, he has a really powerful microscope. I think he tried to disprove, he tried to prove materialism is true and all the other stuff was nonsense. And in his process and research, he actually disproved materialism, meaning the every time he would look at the finger and then the fingertip and this, and basically he got to a point where everything was just space. There, nothing actually exists. It makes me think about you. So I want to know what you have to say about this, because you're a radiologist. You shared earlier that the equipment you use is not actually measuring physical stuff. It's measuring energy. And correct me if I'm misphrasing what I think you do and what you shared. But for our healthy skeptics, and I'm going to define that, there are people that are skeptical. I used to be, and I still am that guy where I want to believe, but I need some evidence proof to help me believe. Then there are the non-believers. There's no amount of evidence that I can give them that's going to change them. Then there's the, I believe everything, the naive people. And I don't enjoy talking to them either, right? Because I can say whatever. It's just not interesting. I like the healthy skeptic where this is interesting. I'm curious. I want to believe. Can you give me some data evidence? When people say we're not really physical, we're energy beings, we're beings of light, can you bring in from the map of science of Newtonian and physics and radiology, can you help us? Can you help us believe?
I'm gonna try my best. So I'm gonna pull up another image here. This is from a research study that was done in collaboration between an astrophysicist and a neurosurgeon. So the left sided image is an image of the cosmic web. So you're looking at super clusters of galaxies, you know, extending down to clusters and then individual galaxies, solar dust, solar systems. And essentially, it's a distribution of mass and energy over distance. The sided picture, this is a microscopic image of a biopsy of the human brain, particularly just in the back of the brain called the cerebellum. And what you're looking at specifically are the neurovascular bundles. So neural tissue, vascular tissue. And again, it's, you know, simplified down to this is just a distribution of mass and energy over distance. Now, their research concluded that when you do the quantitative analysis, the relative distribution between the cosmic web and your brain are practically identical. And so when we begin to think in terms of non-locality, the fact that, you know, the Nobel Prize of 2022 in physics was awarded to three gentlemen that proved that we are part of this non-local entangled universe, meaning that we are each expressions of the whole. If you think of the information within each of your atoms in your body, it contains information of every other atom of the entire universe. And so when you look at this image, it's showing us that we are truly an expression of the information of this entire system, of this universe. And what research over the decades have shown us is that it proves this particular perspective. So for instance, if you think of Dr. Jon Kabat-Zinn, his work, okay, he basically showed that, okay, you know, you can heal four times faster when you learn how to quiet the mind and use imagination, imagining health. And he was studying patients with an inflammatory skin condition, psoriasis. And he found that, yes, when patients were taught how to use the mind, they could heal four times faster. Now, those results...
We got to emphasize this. I don't want this to just slip by. Chinese medicine understands that the body has an innate ability to heal. And our goal is always, how do we support it? You just said that when people are able to engage their own healing, they can accelerate the healing up to four times. And in this study, they looked at a skin condition, which is very physical and obvious. Not like, oh, I think I feel better. They can actually visually take pictures and look at psoriasis, inflammatory condition, and it would heal four times quicker. That's what you just said, correct?
Absolutely. Right.
That's important. That's important. 100%. No steroids, no, just using
There is no difference between the control group that was, you know, receiving standard care and the experimental group that was receiving the same standard care, but then using their mind, their consciousness as a tool.
Both groups got treated with medicine.
Yes.
Okay.
Both were treated with UV light therapy.
Oh, that was the treatment. Okay.
Standard care. And the experimental group received the instruction of using mindfulness and imagination to help boost healing. But what I want to emphasize for people to walk away with, understanding that this that we are expressions of the whole. The information of the universe is within each and every one of us. And to your point, when we nurture the body, when we nurture the mind, that we can unlock our potential for healing. And there's another scientist, Dr. Hemal Patel. He's a renowned, awarded, multi-awarded scientist based out of UC San Diego. And in August 2024, he published this paper that showed that when people practice this technique of coherence, right, activating their heart center, cultivating a very physiologic, energetic frequency, that there is a correlation that the more people were who practiced, the more immunity they experienced from SARS-CoV virus. And they actually identified the very specific protein that was being produced by the body as a result of this energetic frequency, a serine protease 5 inhibitor that basically affects the M spike protein on the virus. So now the virus can't even enter the cells.
Through mind work.
Through mind work.
Because
the body knows, has all the information. It, like, you know, you don't have to tell your body what to do when you get a cut. It just knows.
No, it knows how to heal. I'm glad we're doing this in 2025 and not 2020, because Big Brother, you said COVID, and Big Brother would have shut down our YouTube.
Yeah, that's right.
It would have just stopped. So when you get into, you're using the term coherence. I want you to kind of start to define that a bit.
Sure.
I'm interested because I use laser and LED in my practice. But the question I want to ask is, there was a doctor out of Germany, medical doctor, trained as acupuncture, uses low-level laser therapy. And he said to me, everything he does on his table for his patients, he's always purposefully putting them into a parasympathetic state as much as possible. Because he says, when we're in parasympathetic, we heal. And Dispenza would say, when you're in survival mode, you feel alarmed, you don't feel safe, you go into sympathetic, and your energy is mobilized for survival, to fight or flight. So I would say it's not available for healing, for creativity or reproduction. And when you go into parasympathetic, when your nervous system, your body feels safe, then it frees up these resources for healing, creativity, and reproduction. So can you now, with the work that you do and everything that's you're familiar with, can you tie in, if there is a tie-in between this coherence you're talking about, what is this coherence, where are you measuring it, and what we hear about parasympathetic versus sympathetic, or high beta brainwaves, and then those alpha or theta brainwaves?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it's a great question. So if you think about the autonomic nervous system, which is essentially controlling, you know, 95% of our physiology and our life systems at a subconscious level. And the autonomic nervous system has two arms, sympathetic and parasympathetic. You know, you can think of it like the gas and the brake pedals. And as you mentioned, you know, sympathetic is your fight or flight. So it's mobilizing resources to deal with external threats. And your parasympathetic system is that rest and digest. So now you can use that energy for, let's say, healing and thriving. Now, coherence is a term in science that's used to describe when two systems that are independent of each other, they can get into a rhythm. They get phase locked. Okay, so let's imagine like you're at a dance party and the two people, one's sympathetic, one's parasympathetic, they're on the separate separate sides of the dance floor, and they're kind of dancing, they're doing their own thing. But when you cultivate coherence, it's as if now you're bringing these dancers together and they start dancing together in step. And, you know, when you look at the body, when you start to measure what's happening at that physiologic level, these two arms get into a nice rhythm where the sympathetic tone is active and then the parasympathetic tone becomes active, and it just takes, you know, turns. And so it's as if now you're driving a car with one foot applied to the accelerator and then eventually, you know, taking it off and now applying to the brake. And you're just constantly creating this cycle between the dominance of sympathetic versus parasympathetic. Now, when you measure what is the frequency of that cycle, how many cycles per second is the autonomic nervous system cycling through these two, you know, between these two arms? And it turns out that when you're in that state of coherence, it's 0.1 hertz, meaning it's 10 cycles per second. So it's a very nice, you know, slow system of cycling between that, your nervous system. And this creates a beautiful balance. And it's in that state where a lot of things can now happen. Now you're in this optimal physiologic state where they show, wow, you know, people after practicing this for 30 days has been shown to have an 100% increase in your DHEA hormone levels. And your cortisol levels, you know, your baselines drop by 23%. So this is like an inherent frequency of the body that we're designed to resonate at, to cultivate well-being. And it just so happens that when you experience love, when you experience compassion or gratitude, and you sustain that emotion, that's when the nervous system gets into that beautiful rhythm. It induces that state. And one more fascinating point, which I'm sure we'll come back to, is that if you look at the magnetic field around the planet, and if you think of the magnetic field lines as guitar strings, if you were to pluck the very first magnetic field line on this around this planet, it would resonate at 0.1 hertz, the same frequency of love, the same frequency of coherence that, again, is related to our optimal state of being.
So we get into coherence that you can measure this then in people. So this can be actually objectively measured.
Yes.
It sounds like you see, you can measure it off the body. So I guess the next question is, are we like Wi-Fi? And not only can we benefit our own healing and our well-being and state of joy, but can we impact others consciously or unconsciously if this vibration is coming off of our body? Because you measure it off
yes.
the body.
Yeah, absolutely. So just to share with people that when your nervous system is in coherence, one of the easiest ways that we have identified to measure coherence is through the rhythms of the heart. It's called heart rate variability. So the interbeat intervals are constantly changing. And when you are in a state of coherence, you can actually watch your heart rate increase and eventually decrease over time and then increase again. So you create this nice, smooth rhythm that is essentially a reflection of the balanced nervous system. And it's all through the heart. And this is important because if you think about when you look at an electrocardiogram, you're looking at the electric current running through the heart. And physics 101 says anything that has electric current running through it also creates a magnetic field. So the heart is radiating a magnetic field, and that magnetic field carries information. And it's the information of the rhythms of the heart, which is essentially your emotional state, your thoughts. Your emotions are forms of energy, and those energies are reflected into your heart rhythms, which is the result of the state of your autonomic nervous system. So if you're stressed out, obviously now your two arms of your nervous system is going to be out of balance. You're going to create a very irregular heart rate variability pattern, versus if you feel love and compassion, now you're in that coherent state. Your heart rate variability pattern is very nice and smooth and rhythmic. And those rhythms, yes, they're being transferred up into the brain through the vagus nerve. Yes, it's resonating through the entire body, you know, through the contractions of the heart, and radiating through an electromagnetic field. So every cell in your body is being bathed by an electromagnetic field that's carrying this information, and it's radiating out into the world. And research is clear that other people's hearts are not, you know, they're not just radiating, they're also listening. So each of our hearts is listening to the environment around us, the energetic fields that surrounds us. And so other people's hearts can influence each other's heart. And so the research shows, you know, I'm sure many of you have experienced times where somebody walks into a party or walks into a boardroom and you can just feel, oh boy, negative Ned just showed up. Where somebody's like a breath of fresh air walking through the door, you can feel their vibe, you feel their energy. And so we're starting to better understand how the heart plays this role of radiating and receiving information. And that information is affecting our hearts and hence how we think, how we feel, how we're going to respond and react. I'll just share one other thing I think is fascinating. So Dr. Roland McCrady, he's, you know, the lead scientist at HeartMath Institute, you know, the world authority on psychophysiology and talking about bioelectricity in the heart and this understanding of heart coherence. And he ran these studies looking at the intuitive intelligence of the heart. And this setup of this research was quite, you know, it's simple. People basically had a little button they were holding in their hand. They would press a button and they were staring at a blank screen. So once they pushed the button, the screen would be blank. And then after 6 seconds, an image would pop up. It would either be a nice, pleasant image, or it would be a very aggressive image. And research shows that if an aggressive, whenever you see something aggressive, your sympathetic system kind of flinches. You know, you can, so your body will react and have a slight fight or flight response. So this image that pops up for 3 seconds, and then it goes blank again for 10. And you just keep repeating this process. And the research shows that the heart has this capacity to predict with a very high accuracy when an aggressive image is going to pop up on the screen. And it knows between 5 to 6 seconds before it actually pops up. And just to stress that the images being popped up on the screen, it's in a random program. I mean, nobody knows, not even the researcher conducting the test knows what's going to pop up on the screen. But the heart has an intuitive intelligence. And the practicality of this, when we think about, you know, talking about gut feeling or intuition, there's a gentleman, John Coates. He was a very successful trader on Wall Street. He ran the trading desk for, I think it was Deutsche Bank. And he realized that his winning streak was well beyond the statistical, you know, bounds. And he always felt, he knew when he was going to hit it, this intuitive, you know, sensation. So he went back, studied neuroscience, got a PhD at Cambridge University. He studied risk takers, and his research focused on asking people estimate your heart rate. So essentially, how much of a body sensory awareness do these individuals have? And it showed that the more accurate people were at estimating their own heart rate, the more successful they were in their intuitive bets. So again, kind of goes back to this understanding that we're part of the whole. There's information available to the heart. The heart is radiating information, but it also is receiving info from people, but also perhaps from that deeper reality that we were talking about, you know, in the very beginning of the episode.
There's a lot to unpack there. So one is just that accountability and responsibility of your thoughts and feelings, learning tools to metabolize these uncomfortable feelings and unconscious programs to heal, right? And I say this because most people wouldn't piss in a pool or crap in the pool because everybody's in the pool. We're affected by it. It's pretty obvious, right? But now, if you're coming in with a stinky attitude and you're toxifying the field of people around you. So I think with this kind of research and work and understanding this paradigm shift, we'll start to realize, and we know certain thoughts and feelings. You talked about, you know, cortisol and adrenaline. They can turn on and off genes that aren't conducive for fertility or healing. So there is a physical benefit to regularly putting yourself into coherence. And sounds like, because you talked about people in their work, it helps you get into a kind of a peak potential. So entrepreneurs, business people, if they could develop this and their team could develop this, they probably would reach their potential and get to achieve a lot of the goals that they're wanting to do.
Absolutely. And in fact, I believe it was in August 2024, there was an article that was published, and they were studying groups of people who were working on problem solving different tasks. And individuals were each hooked up with heart monitors, and they were studying the heart synchronization between individuals in that group as they worked through a process trying to find the correct answer. And what they showed, the results showed that heart synchronization between individuals in the group had a 70% positive predictive value that they were going to come up with the correct answer. Again, if you think about heart coherence for an individual, it's allowing us to function at our peak ability, help us think, help us with creativity and innovation, think outside the box. And yet, when you imagine now everyone in your sphere, your working group or your community or family, whatever it is, now are functioning at that same level. Imagine now what the potential is. So we're unlocking the potential on an individual, but now on a collective level. And so how we show up in the world really does matter. It affects our teams. It affects our patients. It affects colleagues, you know, affects the world.
fix the world. And that's your work about connectivity. You know, somebody would say there, the predictability, like how is it that, because you're saying the heart's listening. So there's two brains, right? And this is what the heart-brain coherence is. You got a brain that we're all familiar with, but the heart seems to be like a second brain, another brain. And you were sharing how in the research, they were able to predict before the image happened in advance. So some people go, that makes no sense. Why? I would say, going back to our map and terrain analogy, if you are totally dogmatic attached to the Newtonian materialistic view of the world, which is linear, then it doesn't make sense.
Exactly.
But if you open that there's another science called quantum physics, which goes beyond space and time, then this is very plausible. It's not a big leap at all, is it?
No, not at all. In fact, it makes inherent sense. And look, Einstein even said it himself. He's, you know, future, past, and present. They all exist in the same moment. It's the information that resides at that deeper reality, that deeper truth that contains the information of future, past, and present all in one moment. And so it makes inherent sense. And, you know, for me, I think this is, it can, by understanding this, not only will it help empower people with their own health, but I think it gives a vision for a future that is very optimistic. And, you know, a lot of the research around intention, so collective intention, have shown that when you bring groups of people together to cultivate this sense of inner peace, inner compassion, and cultivate coherence, that collective field of energy is something that can be harnessed and put to use. It's energy, so we can use that energy. And one of the papers that I love to highlight, and there are many in the publication, you know, in research, but the one that I like to highlight is this one that was published by Dr. Charles Alexander, who's a Harvard psychologist during the 80s. Him and his colleagues hypothesized that collective coherence can actually demonstrate a reduction in conflict. And so during the Lebanese Civil War, for 2 years, they conducted up to 9 experiments, bringing people together, focusing on this connection, and sending that intention to different areas in Lebanon. And the research showed that there was drastic reduction in war-related fatalities, like up to 71%. Injuries reduced, I think it was by, you know, 68%. These are not subtle margins. Mm-hmm. And just for, you know, viewers to appreciate that this was published in a very reputable peer-reviewed journal, Yale's Journal of Conflict Resolution. And again, to your point, if we just stick to this idea that we're living in an Isaac Newtonian world of separation, that makes absolute no sense. But when you're thinking in terms of quantum physics and how we're all part of a non-local field and we're all connected to each other, the emotion and thoughts and our energy that we are cultivating is literally feeding the fields around us. So a local field, so other people around us can feel our hearts. But we're also feeding that information. Our Wi-Fi signal is being sent into a non-local field that connects us all to each other. It's so powerful. And I think as we begin to recognize ourselves and our relationships to each other, that paradigm shift now opens the door for us to begin to actualize this pure potential.
Here's the thing, where for our audience, I see a lot of individuals and couples that are looking to grow their families. And I see a lot in perimenopause and menopause. All women that live to at least 60 go through menopause. And they all have the fluctuating estrogen and declining progesterone in the perimenopause. And then in menopause, they all have a decline in estrogen progesterone. If it was because of hormone changes and decline, every single woman who lives to 60 should have all these crazy symptoms. But they don't. So I would say it's not because of these hormones that are changing. I would say because their ability to adapt and their underlying resilience from life, they're in a place that these changes, it's internal changes, hormones are changing, they don't have the ability to adapt and they don't have the resilience, so they suffer the symptoms. That's why they're having the symptoms. So it's not so much the hormones that are the issue, they're the trigger, but their body can't adapt to the change in these hormones. And I think the work that you're doing, the work that I'm doing in my practice, we are building up resilience through heart-brain coherence and ability to adapt. So these are the people that heal 4 times quicker with their psoriasis. These are the people that are getting pregnant. These are the people that are sailing through menopause. And if you're not, there are ways that you can build up the resilience and adaptability again. That's my hypothesis. And I'm curious what you think of this. And if you're like, yeah, we're onto something, I want us to go into what you're doing and if we can give them some tools to help them build up the resilience.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a beautiful description. And I think, you know, you're really onto something. The idea of flexibility and resilience. And we know this in medicine, you know, if you don't have much of a reserve, internally, if you can't respond, then when something happens in your external environment and it's like you're now, boom, you're going to take a massive heart attack. If your heart doesn't have that ability to respond and react. And where, you know, heart rate variability is an amazing metric because it shows that, you know, over time, as we get older, heart rate variability decreases, which is a reflection of the body's ability to adjust and be resilient has decreased. Now, what's fascinating is that if you think about heart rate variability levels, just like a blood pressure level or a heart rate, everybody, we all have a certain baseline blood pressure or heart rate. Well, everybody also has a baseline heart rate variability pattern, in essence. Okay. And what the research shows is that if you practice daily, let's say, you know, you add this into a daily practice and a routine, your heart rate variability will increase over time. And that now becomes
that's
your
a good
default.
Thing. That's a good thing.
That's a very good thing.
It's not heart
thing.
Rate. Your heart rate is different than heart rate variability. So
absolutely,
you
yes.
want a higher heart rate variability because it shows you have adaptability.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I just wanted absolutely. To clarify that.
Yes. Thank you. Yes. So as you practice, your body becomes more resilient. You increase your adaptability to address your external or internal environments as they constantly change. And again, your baseline is now shifting to become more resilient. So even at time when you're not practicing these techniques, more often than not, you're now shifting your bioelectric, you know, frequency level. And that now becomes a new default. And again, to your point, there's research that shows that if we learn how to tune into our heart like a technology, if we begin to understand the body like technology, we can become more conscious of how we're experiencing ourselves in any given moment. That, you know, emotional intelligence, let's call it, or, you know, that sense of awareness coupled with this understanding of how to drop into the heart in any given moment, allowing ourselves to further self-regulate when we need it most, can help us further adapt to our environments. And, you know, they've shown studies where police officers being trained in these techniques, once they're, you know, dealing with some sort of acute situation, like an angry individual, their heart rate jumps up to like 180 beats per minute. And then after that scenario, their heart rate will come down, but it comes down to a level that's still elevated, like 100 beats per minute. That's still tachycardic. That's still too high. And it's because cortisol that's, you know, flowing through your bloodstream just doesn't go away immediately. It sticks around. So this technique now, when they're asked to, hey, cultivate coherence, it's like flexing that mental muscle. And you can see in the graphs, like their heart rate, boom, right away, goes right back down to baseline levels. And otherwise, the control group shows that heart rate will stay elevated for up to 2 hours after the event. This flexibility, we can become conscious of how to tune into our hearts, flex our mental muscles. But then there's also this, you know, at the level of the autonomic nervous system, there is this internal flexibility that changes over time, over our lifespan. But yet there are tools to help us support that resilience, that degree of flexibility that we each, you know, harbor.
So you teach tools and you hold group work to allow you to intentionally change your biology. So let's talk about where they can find out, because you have some initiatives you're doing. I would love to know about Global Heart Sync, nextgenhealth.solution, that's your website, Rad Art. Can you share a little bit about resources and tools and what you're offering? So people that are like, okay, I want to feel joy. I want to feel peace. I want to contribute to the shifting of the world. What can people do to learn, and more importantly, develop tools and practices so they can change?
So to answer that, let me just pull up some slides.
Okay.
Because it kind of, this will, all of these resources that we have kind of flow into each other. You know, I always like to start with the individual, but then how does this affect our communities? And then how can we use this to affect our world? The first image is just a slide. So one of the first resources is that we've created a curriculum. And our curriculum really leverages the power of art to help communicate this message. And I showed you the medicinal mandala. That's kind of the crux. This, think of it as like a lens to see the world through. And it's, you know, as Da Vinci said, just learn how to see, realize that everything connects to everything else. And to help people kind of conceptualize what this means, if you imagine, you know, Lauren, we're on a stage at a massive music concert. We're celebrating consciousness. And imagine our favorite musicians or DJs are playing music, and we're staring out at, you know, a group of 50,000 people. We'd recognize that everybody has a different form of dance, everyone expressing themselves individually, but yet the entire crowd is still synchronized to the same beat. And so when you begin to look at the nature, and this is an image of different plants, different vegetation, different organisms in nature, you begin to look at them, you realize, wow, everything is dancing to the same rhythm. There's a certain geometry, a certain form. And in school, you know, we learn about the Fibonacci sequence or golden ratio, sacred geometry. It's this geometry that we can begin to recognize throughout nature. And I'm sure many people, you know, this isn't new to many of your listeners, but I think it's important that we recognize that this certain geometry, this rhythm is, you know, can be seen at every level of existence, from the patterns of the environment, you know, in a hurricane, down to everything that we consume for nutrients. So every fruit and every vegetable, is everything's dancing to this rhythm. And as a radiologist, I do a lot of teaching around anatomy. I can tell you that our entire human physical form is dancing to this rhythm, that certain geometry. And it's this geometry that is found in the vector equilibrium and the lotus flower, as demonstrated in the medicinal mandala. So first off, a big part of the curriculum is helping people recognize this rhythm that is not just resonating, you know, ubiquitous in Mother Nature, but we are that rhythm. We are that pattern. And so again, you know, when you look at the air and seashells, this is, you know, geometries that we can identify with, and we can begin to recognize ourselves as part of nature. Now, what the next level is that when we begin to see ourselves in nature, and you begin to kind of reframe how we understand life, because life can be a petri dish, you know, a culture of cells, or life could be seen as a super organism, like a human being. And yet, the next level of super organisms could be this planet. Because when you look at our genes, you know, no matter what skin color, we're all 99.9% genetically identical. You know, so now this curriculum will help people recognize each other in this new light, when we can begin to identify this fingerprint of Mother Nature and realize, wow, we're an expression of that fingerprint. We are a part of this, you know, social and global ecosystem. Now, this is where things get interesting, because we have also, in this curriculum, we're sharing this thing called the LASER protocol. And the LASER protocol is a technique.
Wait, what's the acronym stand for? Because I think of laser because I use laser in my practice, low-level laser. So I got excited when you said that. But can you tell us what the acronym stands for and how you spell it?
Sure. So it's LASERR, and it stands for lock on, synchronize, and radiate and receive.
Okay.
And essentially, it's a three-phase protocol to help people activate their mind, get tuned into bodily, you know, their body sensations, dropping into the heart, and then synchronizing with heart so that they can radiate and receive this energy or this information. So the LASER protocol is really dual purpose. One, as I said, it helps people get tuned in and cultivate coherence, but also
And I love that you brought this up intuitively, that when we take photons of you know, photons radiating from a light bulb, and you focus them and you make them coherent with each other, now you create a very powerful laser. And so when we practice the laser protocol in community, we're also now creating a powerful community. And so as part of our offerings, we say, okay, look, here's this education is how we can now begin to see ourselves as an energetic being, how we can recognize our energy between each other, how we recognize this global ecosystem, this new identity. And here's a laser protocol that will help you become more coherent for self well-being and cultivating well-being. But we can do this in community. So at 6 p.m. Eastern time, Monday to Friday, I provide free online Zoom calls, so heart coherent sessions, where people are now joining, practicing the laser protocol, and these are people who are dedicated to not just self-care, but to the recognition and the love of common humanity, because we're starting to understand why this is so important. And so, and now we're about to start to train other people who are going to pick up additional time slots. So eventually there'll be, a growing community of practicing this heart coherence, this laser protocol. So that's, one offering that's free and available to all your listeners.
And they go where to find that?
So they can go to the globalheartsync.org website. And this is now a platform where people are going to begin to recognize our global heartbeat, our connection with each other. And so when you register, you'll receive a toolkit, and you'll receive free tools. One of them will be videos and audio explanations for this laser protocol and the Zoom link to join the community. But it also provides you a link to download a free biofeedback tool. So this is a tool made by HeartMath Institute called the Global Coherence App. And this is a tool that allows you to use the camera on your phone to measure your heart rate variability in real time. So now you can actually watch how your thoughts and emotions affect your heart rate variability, so that when you're practicing the laser protocol, you can now track your progress. You can measure your coherence level and really maximize your personal training. But the beauty of this is that depending upon how long you use the app for and your coherence level, you are also accumulating points. And when you join the Global Heart Sync app, your points are going to be basically collected into a global pool. And when we collectively reach milestones, then we celebrate and we engage with philanthropists, corporations who will basically, through corporate social responsibility, will exchange points for money. And that money now becomes a way that we can deliver more mental health into schools, more resilience programs for communities in need. And so we can create a gamified approach to the science of heart coherence and create sustainable funding. So now people begin to understand there's a direct relationship between self-care and social activism, where your heart really does matter. And again, through this app, we begin to witness, wow, our common humanity, how interconnected we are. And as we become more familiar with the works like Charles Alexander and Lynn McTaggart, we start to realize, well, we can really actualize this power, this potential that we're cultivating within self and what we're cultivating amongst each other. So Global Heart Sync is, again, a free, not-for-profit program. It's globalheartsync.org. So now we've gone from individual self-care to community health and this global perspective. And then the last thing I'll share is RadArt. This is kind of like a unique tool that is an overlay to everything that we're doing, because the work in, the science of compassion, we know compassion is contagious. We know this. And it's my philosophy that if you infuse this information, this knowledge, and this conversation with music and art, now you have something that's very infectious. So I'm going to just quickly, give me one sec, I'm going to pull up an image.
And RadArt is R-A-D-D. People are Googling it or looking for it.
Yes, it's R-A-D-D, art, which actually stands for radiologist developed autonomic rewiring therapy.
Oh,
and
nice.
And RADAR is actually it's my capstone project from Stanford University's Center for Compassion and Altruism Research and Education. So it's all about how to apply the science of compassion in projects or in curriculum. So RADART, the way that it works is that I work with artists who, once they are certified in our education program, they can now join us on stage for any presentation or any program that is taking place. And they are tasked to capture the energy of conversations in their art through their heart in real time. Then these pieces of art can be sold. They can be used in corporate sponsorships, used in fundraising to, again, raise money to be used to deliver more mental health and resilience programs for communities in need and in schools. So we're creating these cycles of compassion. And every piece of art has its own QR code so that it links it back to its creation story. So we create stories with every piece of art. So now if you're walking by one of our pieces of art, you can zap the QR code. You can now learn about how it was created. What was the conversation? What did we learn? It becomes a pipeline for knowledge and education. And again, a pipeline to this growing community of people who are practicing these techniques. So this, what I'm showing you now, is an image of a piece of art that was created at an event that I was asked to speak at. It was for an organization called Tech Canada, so the Executive Committee Canada. So it was a room full of CEOs and executives, and we were talking about the science of heart. We were having a deep conversation about quantum physics and how this applies to how we can lead with heart, how we can become better, you know, leaders. And we're even talking about how time is not necessarily linear. So, you know, we're having these type of conversations. And our artist created this beautiful piece of art in real time over the hour keynote. And just for your listeners' benefit, this is a beautiful painting that is a scene of a beach. And it's as if you're flying overhead in an airplane, let's say, and you're looking down at this beach. You can see this medicinal mandala in the sand, and there are people starting to congregate around this mandala. And on either side is this interesting shoreline, you know, with beautiful kind of a mauve or purplish type of color. Now, what happened was, after this conversation, there was a luncheon and some dialogue. And at the very end of the talk, the chair of the committee presented me with a present. And they presented me with a piece of amethyst that you can see here. You know, amethyst has this kind of purplish color to it, and, you know, beautiful crystal. And so we're looking at it, and we're like, and then it dawned on us. We said, holy smokes, when you superimpose this crystal on this piece of art, it's like, it's as if this piece of amethyst belongs in that piece of art. Like the contour, the color scheme, it's uncanny.
Yeah. Right? When you actually brought it up earlier, I thought that the artwork you have there was, they use that crystal to create it. Like, remember when you were showing me practicing the slides, yeah, and I saw those two? I was under the impression that that was something used to create the art. So you guys got to go on YouTube and see this. It's uncanny how the colors just flow perfectly into it.
So again, to this point, and I got to tell you, like, when I was in that room, in dialogue, we were engaging these conversations, you could feel the energy. You could just feel their minds opening, their hearts opening wide, taking this in, you know, like it was palpable. And here we are now. As a result, you can see how this crystal, there is no relationship between the committee chair and the artist. This was completely what some people would say is serendipitous, but I believe this is a testament of nonlinear time and the power of coherence. And so this was a piece that was sold. The chairman actually, she bought this piece of art very quickly. She realized that this is not just paint on canvas. We're capturing the energy of these conversations. And so Rad Art, in short, you can think of it as a archive of conversations and of moments that are unfolding that is helping us shift our understanding of who and what we are individually and collectively, and how, as a global community, we're starting to emerge as a more conscious and coherent, more compassionate ecosystem. And the art becomes a sustainable model for fundraising that also translates this knowledge in unique ways.
So for people to find this, I just want to confirm, we got nextgenhealth.solutions as one website. Then we got globalheartsync.org. Is there anything else I need to put into the show notes, or those are the two main?
Yeah, and just so, yeah, Next Gen Health, there's no T. It's often often confused. So nexgenhealth.solutions. And in website.
Sorry, yeah. Let's highlight NEX. I said next. It's not next. It's nexhealth.solutions. And that will be correctly posted in our show notes.
Thank you. And it's in Next Gen Health that, in that website, that you'll also find the gallery, the Rad Art Gallery, and you can look at the different paintings and different events. And, you know, there's actually one that I would just love to show you. Let me see if I have it here. So for your viewers, this is another piece of art that I wanted to show. So we were invited by an award-winning documentary filmmaker. She directed the film called The One Field. And I'm not sure if you've seen it, Lauren, but it is great documentary. She basically has begun documenting these collective intention experiments and starting to examine much of this science that we're talking about. So in December of 2023, after the October 7th attack in Israel, she wanted to put together a global event where she would bring together people in Jerusalem and people around the world, bringing together Jews, Muslim, and Christians. And the idea was, they wanted to conduct a social science experiment focusing on compassion to see if this is something that could be measured in the collective field of consciousness. And so they partnered with HeartMath. HeartMath is conducting or running the Global Conscious Project. And the Global Conscious Project, for those who are not familiar with it, it's essentially like a global monitoring system, like how we can monitor our brain waves with an electroencephalograph. They're monitoring the global consciousness using these little random event generators, which are little computers spinning out zeros and one randomly, you know, many times a second. And there's hundreds of these around the planet. And so all of that data is coming back to a central database. Most of the time, it's just randomness. It's just absolute, you know, like fuzz on a TV without cable. But when there are large groups of people who are focused at the same time with the same emotion, all of that data becomes synchronized. So now what was random is not random anymore. And for those of you who can see this this image, in the bottom left graph, there's a graph that shows that red line as it deviates from the center line. This is showing that all the zeros, you know, all the random event generators are now synchronized. They all become zero, or they all become one. And so a signal emerges out of chaos through these random event generators. And I'm bringing this up because this piece of art that was created during this live event where only a few thousand people were coming together. But they were people who were cultivating a high state of coherence, focusing on deep compassion for what just happened, this atrocity, and for the world. What you can see, again, in the bottom left corner of the image, the moment the meditation began, you can see a specific deviation in the data. And it goes beyond that little blue curve, which is the statistically significant threshold. So there is a statistically significant shift in the global network of data that represents our collective consciousness. And this, I think, is just so important that, one, I mean, we feel blessed that our piece of art has archived this experiment. So now people can read about it and start to see, like, well, there's a full, you know, there's just a different story emerging about our connection, about community, and why compassion is just so pivotal to our evolution as a species. You know, and even the evolution of our own health and well-being. So Rad Art becomes this unique way to tell these stories, bring people's awareness to it, and perhaps now further expand this conversation. So now artists and musicians, can now become part of this conversation, and we can just further expanding the awareness on this planet of energy, connection, and cultivating coherence.
Wonderful. Thanks for sharing that. As we wrap up, I have an 18-minute heart-brain coherence meditation that I'm going to put in the show notes for those that want to practice that daily or several times a week, that I share with my patients. And so I'm going to put that in the show notes because I think it's aligned with what we've talked about today. Anything you just want to, in conclusion, that you want to share, direct people to, any messages? I'd love to have you have those last words.
Well, I think the other thing I would just share is that for those who are interested to learn a bit more, there is a TEDx talk called Future Medicine is the Medicine of Frequency, or Future Medicine is Frequency, and What Did Einstein Mean? And, you know, because that's an easy way to, you know, to help if you want to spread this message and you don't have the words. This is an easy way to kind of bring this to people's awareness. Yeah, I just as an open invitation, every night, Monday to Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you're welcome to join and to begin a practice of coherence if you're not already. And starting a workout routine, for instance, can be difficult when you're on your own. But when you know that you can join a community and you can do it together with others, perhaps it makes it a little bit more inviting and, more accountable.
And I would encourage people to do it because the value is not in the knowledge, the concepts that Dr. Mitch shared. The value is in the application of the knowledge. And so you can know all about this and it can really excite you. However, you won't get the benefit unless you put the practice into play. And so Definitely. He's got a great opportunity for that.
I'll mention one last thing. I'll just also mention. So we actually just yesterday, for context, was September 21, 2025. So it was Global Peace Day. And it was a partial solar eclipse, and it was a new moon. So a really energetic moment in history. And here we are, now today is the equinox. And so yesterday we actually put on our very first Global Heart Sync party. And this is something that we're going to continue to grow, where basically we bring people together and we did it in person, but we also included opportunity as a live stream. And this is, moments where we can come together, have interesting conversation, do these practices and bring witness, bear witness to this global heart through the Global Heart Sync app. So for those of you, again, who are interested, who want to kind of stay connected and be part of this growing movement, then again, you can find information on the Global Heart Sync .org website, and I'd love for you to join the party.
All right, so we'll join that party. Dr. Mitch, I want to thank you again for sharing all the work you're doing. I hope we get to stay in touch now. The podcast has brought us back together because I'm really interested in the work you're doing, and I do hope if our mothers listen to this episode, they're proud of us and don't call us and criticize what we didn't do right during the episode.
You're right. Well said, Lauren. Yeah, it's been a pleasure. This was great. I love the conversation.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Hi, Dr. Lauren Brown. I'm the host of the Conscious Fertility Podcast. And if you like this episode, we invite you to post comments, like, subscribe, because it's our understanding it helps other people find this episode as well.
If you're looking for support to grow your family, contact AccuBalance Wellness Center. At AccuBalance, they help you reach your peak fertility potential through their integrative approach, using low-level laser therapy, fertility acupuncture, and naturopathic medicine. Download the AccuBalance Fertility Diet and Dr. Brown's video for mastering manifestation and clearing subconscious blocks. Go to AccuBalance.ca, that's ACUBalance.ca.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Conscious Fertility, the show that helps you receive life on purpose. Please take a moment to subscribe to the show and join the community of women and men on their path to peak fertility and choosing to live consciously on purpose. I would love to continue this conversation with you, so please direct message me on Instagram at Lauren Brown Official. That's Instagram, Lauren Brown Official. Or you can visit my websites, laurenbrown.com and accubalance.ca. Until the next episode, stay curious and for a few moments, bring your awareness to your heart center and breathe.